as Pastor Brandon said, and as I said, we spent the last 14 days praying as a church. We're going to do that again in January, looking forward to that. But let me just tell you some things. We just want to celebrate these. You see all these post-it notes that are on all of the walls here. Every season we've done this, we've added more boards, and y'all fill them up because we got a lot going on and we have called out to God. And so let me just tell you, our average is 289 people came into this room and called out to God. 60 kids, they had their own kind of prayer season boards and post-it notes. We averaged 349 people in the building, and we averaged 565 people online. And let me just do the math for you. That's 914 people calling out to God for 14 straight days. Come on, that deserves some celebration. What an incredible, incredible thing. And I was excited because we were able to do this season. We host the Raytown Schools Convocation. We're so honored to do that. Love the teachers, love administrators, superintendent, and just love being able to pray for. And so they came in, and I was able to welcome them and say, hey, we're in this prayer season. Why don't you put your prayer request up? And so just for God to line those two things up was really cool. But can I just tell you two stories of things that God did? Just two. Come on, say yes. All right, two stories. The first is a friend of mine and a member of this church has a brother who has been very far from God, grew up in a small town in southern Missouri, and experienced abuse repeatedly in the basement of the church that he attended. And understandably, was neither interested in the church or God. And so my friend, the Graceway member here, put his name up on a board. And you got to know, everything that comes along with that experience and the years of being far from God and kind of antagonism to God. And so my friend puts his name up on the board. And in the first week of prayer, his brother calls him and says, man, I don't know what the deal is, but I feel like God's kind of warming up my heart. And I don't know how you've gotten free of some stuff, but I need you to help me get back to Jesus. It's been a long time, man. That's a miracle. That's an incredible, incredible miracle. And listen, when you serve a God who continues to draw through that kind of trauma, you're in good hands. Let me give you one more. A guy by the name of Rodney King, not that one, Rodney King, all right. Right around the time of prayer, he had a massive heart attack. His wife found him in the front yard, didn't know how long he had been there. He was completely unresponsive, called the ambulance. They came, kind of got him back, got him to the hospital, put him in ICU. Doc said, you know, he was out for a long time. The very best that I can offer you is he's going to have massive brain trauma. He's probably going to be in a vegetative state. And so his wife called one of our pastors. We put his name on boards. We prayed for him one of these nights. And I actually just talked to her in Guest Central. Doc said he's probably not going to wake up. Not only did he wake up, but he's 1,000% alert. He's eating, right? Yeah. I said, his wife's name is Amy, and she came in and was, you know, crying and everything. I said, how's he doing? She goes, he keeps trying to get out of bed. I said, perfect. That's exactly what we were looking for. So listen, we had jobs God provided, clean biopsies, surgeries that went well, houses that got sold, houses that God built. We had people experience freedom. We had experience healing. It was a good 14 days. And we celebrate with you. If you put a post-it note up on that wall and God answered, I saw so many people, God answered, God is good. And we saw a lot of that online. Man, we want to celebrate the fact that we serve a God who exists, who hears, who's powerful enough to set people free, who's powerful enough to give us jobs, who's powerful enough to wake us back up. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let me tell you where my heart is just as your pastor. I celebrate with you if God met you in those 14 days, but the person that's heavy on my heart is the person who put a post-it note up and the 14 days has come and gone. And that post-it note's still there and that issue still exists. And it appears that God hasn't answered. This is a conversation that the church has been having for a long time around prayer and faith. And to be honest with you, I think it's gotten really sideways. We have two kinds of people. One person is kind of that name it, claim it, like ask and God will give it to you. And if you have enough faith, God will give you what you want. And the other side is God doesn't do that anymore. And we just pray and Who knows? And I don't think the Bible teaches either of those things. And so what I want to teach you today, what I hopefully want to help you with today, is the relationship between prayer and faith. And if you have a Bible, you can get to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one for absolute free. You got a smartphone, get the Bible app there. If you don't want any of those things, you can follow along online. But I want you to read James 5, verses 13 through 18. Let's trust God to speak to us. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him call to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Four things, just as by way of introduction, that I want to declare to you to kind of clear the space for us to begin to hear from God. The first thing is this: God still does miracles. Come on, that's a better amen than that. God still does miracles. I actually looked up the word miracle in Webster's dictionary, and I love the definition. It is a surprising and welcome event that was neither explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. Can I tell you that divine agency's got a name? His name's Jesus. And Jesus still does miracles. There's a group of people within the church, they believe the Bible, they love Jesus, but they say things like, man, God doesn't do that anymore. So let me just say something about that. We don't get to tell God what he doesn't do anymore. We don't get to say, listen, as I was looking at this, I just think when we pray, God doesn't give us spiritual gifts or do miraculous things. Listen, God regularly does surprising and welcome things that cannot be explained by anyone other than him. And so if you're in here today and you're like, I need a miracle, I know who to introduce you to. Secondly, God does miracles for ordinary people. For ordinary people. We got any ordinary people up in the house today? I know we got some extraordinary people, but most of us are ordinary folks. And I love that the Holy Spirit at the end of the book of James told James to say, tell the story of Elijah where he prays and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. That's a for real prayer, right? And so here's how the Holy Spirit introduces it. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just a dude, just a guy. He wasn't anything special. He wasn't extraordinary. And here's another group that I want to speak to in the church that says you got to be extraordinary and have extraordinary faith for God to give you what you're asking. Can I tell you, you didn't get into this thing because you were extraordinary. You got into this thing because you were a sinner and because you needed grace. And so when God sees fit to hear your prayers by his grace, when God sees fit to respond to your prayers by his grace, when God sees fit to give you a miracle, it's by his grace. Listen, this isn't dependent on you. If it was dependent on me and God, it would be doomed a whole long time ago, right? And so God uses ordinary means to produce miraculous events, of which I am chief. I just want to say to you that God doesn't need you to be anything to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. God loves to hear from you. God loves to be at work in you. Number three, God does want you to grow in faith. God wants you to grow in faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek to know and enjoy him. Listen, God wants to grow you in your faith. God wants you to believe him more fully. Doesn't mean he loves you anymore, but he wants you to see him for who he is. And so prayer is a journey through us growing in our relationship to him and our belief of who he is and what he does, and that's called faith. God does want us to grow in that. But number four, and I think this is the most important one, at least it is for me, God loves me even when I don't trust him. God loves me even when I don't trust him. God works on my behalf even when I don't believe him. God is for me when I'm not for him. God is with me when I think he's abandoned me. God hears me when I think he's ignoring me. God doesn't need me to trust him for him to love me. Listen to me. If you're sitting in here today and you're like, God didn't answer my prayer, I must have done it wrong. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God heard you. God's at work. God loves you. God's got big plans for you. Just keep leaning in. God loves you regardless, okay? God's for you regardless. God has good plans of you for you regardless of what your circumstances are currently telling you. And so how do we take these two entities, prayer and faith, and put them together to pray prayers of faith? And what is a prayer of faith, and how does God help us lean into it? So I want to give you three things today, very simple things. How many know the Bible is really, it's not complicated? Now, it ain't easy, but it's not complicated. And so I want to teach you what I believe the Bible says about praying prayers of faith. Three things. Are you ready for them? Yeah. Prayers of faith are first prayers of confidence. They're prayers of confidence. Now, let me help you with this. When you're praying, please begin with what God has definitively said. Amen. Begin with what God has definitively said. Now, why is that important? Because I've been doing this over 20 years now, and I can't tell you the amount of times that I have people say something to me like this. I felt like God told me. I felt like God told me he was going to heal them. I felt like God told me he was going to give it to me. I felt like God told me he was going to do it or not do it. And then the opposite happened. And what occurs is that because I felt like God told me, if it doesn't happen, then I have some decisions to make either about myself or about God. And most of us don't want to say, I misheard God. Most of us don't want to say, I made a mistake. So what do? We blame God. God, you told me that you would and you didn't. And we develop this theology that God must not do it anymore. I must not have believed enough. God must not do it for people like me, or God must not love me because I didn't do it right. All of those things not being biblical. And so could you please, 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 please turn to your neighbor and say he's begging, right? Please start with what God said. Start with what God said. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 17, talking about my man Elisha. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years, except by my word." You know, there's a reason that I don't ask you to sign your post-it notes. Because we appreciate anonymity when it comes to our prayer requests, don't we? Elijah goes to the king and says, God told me it wasn't going to rain, not tomorrow, right? Not on Mondays, for 3.5 years. I mean, that's a gutsy prayer. That's a gutsy declaration, because if the next day Elijah walks out into the city and it's raining, everyone looks at Elijah like, mm-hmm, right? I thought that you said. And so what does Elijah say? He says, King, you think that I'm standing before you. You think that I'm getting my rules from you. You think that I'm getting a word from you. But I stand before God, and he told me to tell you that it's not going to rain. Listen, you can trust God when you simply take him at his word. Take him at his word. Whatever God says will come to pass. You say, how do you know that? Because he tells me that. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, listen to it. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Can I tell you where to start if you don't know what to pray? Just start right here. Start right here. You know, there's 66 books in this Bible. Look at the size of this book, all right? I went to the bookstore. I said, I need the biggest Bible you got, right? One that would fit on a coffee table if you're a grandmother in here, right? And look at this, 66 books, thousands and thousands of words that God definitively says, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do. If you want something to pray, just start here. Just start here. And be confident in it, because you know that God said it. God speaks of his character, speaks of his power, speaks of his purposes, speaks of his kingdom. And when you pray what God says and say, but God, you said, God loves when you call him on his own glory. God loves when you call him according to the power that he says that he has. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Sometimes when you say, I feel like God tells me, God says, that ain't me, man. That wasn't me. And so just take God at his word. Just take God for what he says. You will find it more than sufficient. You will find it more than enough to provide you with the confidence that you need to call out to God based on what he says, knowing that he hears, knowing that he loves you, knowing that he still does it, knowing that he intends to do good things for you. Prayers of faith, the prayers of confidence. Number two, prayers of faith, and this is a tough one. We don't like this word. Prayers of faith are prayers of submission. Praying in faith, please listen, praying in faith means growing in humility. Praying in faith means growing in humility. Listen to James 4, verses 2 and 3. You desire, amen? We've got a lot of desires on the boards here, and you don't have. Some of you prayed for 14 days. You showed up for 14 straight days. You wanted it. You don't yet have it. So we'll look at what he says. So you murder. You murder God's reputation. You murder your relationship with God. You murder your relationship with them. You murder your theology. You murder your joy. You murder your sensibilities around who God is and what he wants to do. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What I'm about to tell you is really, it's worth the price of admission. Because I think that sometimes whenever we think about prayers of faith, we think about prayers of faith for it. I have enough faith for you to give it to me. That's not a prayer of faith. That's gambling. I really want this, God. Biblical prayers of faith isn't prayers for it. It's prayers of faith in him. Biblical faith isn't, I trust that you'll give it to me. It's that I trust you, and I trust you to give me what I need, and I trust that if you give it to me, it's for my good, and if you don't give it to me, it's for my good. Many times, what we feel like God told us is eerily similar to what we desperately want. Now, sometimes my will and God's will are similar, but can I tell you, sometimes my will and God's will are not similar. Sometimes my way and God's ways are a little similar, but many times, see if I can get a good amen here, God's ways are higher than my ways. And so prayer isn't, I need it, I need it, I need it. You'll give it to me, you'll give it to me, you'll give it to me. It's not pulling the lever on winning the jackpot. It's coming to God and placing your faith in him, not for it, but in him to give you what you need. Now, why? Why? Why is that important? Because the Bible says that God provides nothing but good for you. Nothing but good for you. Listen to me, please. God isn't capable of giving or doing what isn't good for you. He's not capable of it. Now listen, Satan exists. You say, I don't believe in Satan. Satan believes in you. Sin is real. Humanity is broken. You want me to prove it to you? Watch the news. People are crazy. People are doing crazy things. People are saying crazy things. The world is broken. Sin is real. Satan exists. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy what God intends to give and accomplish and do in and through you. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants nothing but evil for you. God wants nothing but good for you. And so look at what the Bible says to us in regards to God's intentions for us. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Now, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And it's a rhetorical question. Obviously, a good daddy would never do that to their son. And so Jesus says, if you then, who are broke, right? I'm broken. I'm weak. I'm sinful. Know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Can I tell you, this verse changed for me when I became a daddy. I have three young kids. Noah, who's sitting on the front row, is 12. Emma is 10. And Isaiah is 6. And I'm incredibly blessed. They all look like their mom. We praise Jesus for that, right? They're gifted, they're smart, they're strong-willed, they're awesome. I got the best kids in the world. But, you know, they are all often asking me for things, right? They're often asking me for things. Like, let's just talk about their culinary requests. Yesterday, my kids asked me for ice cream, for chips, for pizza, for Cheetos, right? And if I am a good dad, I say, honey, I love Jesus, so I don't eat Cheetos, right? Listen, if you're in here today, I just want to tell you, Cheetos are styrofoam with orange dust on them, okay? If you're eating them, I need you to come down front. Our pastors can pray for you, and you need Jesus, right? Now, what's interesting is that my kids ask me for those things, and because I'm a good daddy, I say, sweetie, I love you. No. And what is their response? Why don't you ever give me what I want? Why can't I? I want it. I need it. Why wouldn't? It sounds like me when it comes to prayer, right? Don't look at Noah, all right? It's had nothing to do with him. And it's interesting because whenever one of my kids asks for something, not only am I answering them, but what I found out is that I'm seeking their good and I'm seeking the other kid's good. Because if I give Noah Cheetos, how many of you know Emma's going to be like, can I have Cheetos? And then Isaiah, can I have ice cream on top of Cheetos, right? And so I make a familial decision out of my heart for my kid. Do you know that sometimes God says, listen, you're asking for something that you think is good, but not only is it not good for you, it's not good for us. And I'm incapable of giving you something that would damage you and then damage us. Now, here's the thing. We come to God and we question God's heart, but I want you to look at James chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says turn to your neighbor and say every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I want you to think about all of the good things that you have in your life. Listen, I know you have something on the board that you're waiting for God to provide. I understand it. But I want you to think about all of the good things that he's already given you. Let's just start with wings. Wings are great. Let's talk about steak. Let's talk about, I can just go on and on. They call it my wife, my kids, my church, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, worship songs, sunshine, freshly mowed grass, right? Think about all the things that you enjoy. Think about all the things that you're thankful for. Think about all the things. What does God say? I gave all of them to you. Everything you value, everything you cherish, everything that's sentimental, everything that you say, this is awesome, I love that, or it was great that, God says, I gave that to you because I love you. Because I love you. And so submission, listen, we think of this differently than the relationship, the context by which God provides it. God says, I need you to submit to me because there's things that I know that you don't know. Because there's things that I am that you're not. Because I would never give you something to hurt you. I would never give you something that would hurt us. And I know that right now you're desperate for me to give you Cheetos. But sweetie, I love you too much to do that. Now there may come a time where I give you what you're asking for when it's good for you and good for us. But until then, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. This isn't about you earning it. This isn't about you not doing it right. This isn't about you not being enough. This isn't about me not doing that anymore. This is about me loving you too much. I know what's good for you. I need you to trust my heart for you. I need you to trust my intent for you. And I need you to give me this one for as long as I say it's not good for you. I promise you, as soon as it's good for you and us, I'll give it to you. That's what a good daddy does, right? Dads, you know that. Moms, you know that, watching dads. And so we come to God and we say, God, this isn't about me trusting you for it. This is about me trusting who you are. This is about me taking you at your word, even when the outcome is hidden, even when the response is delayed, when the answer isn't what I want, I trust you. That's praying in faith. That's praying in faith. And so praying in faith is praying in confidence, is praying in submission, and it's praying prayers of persistence. Prayers of persistence. Faith holds on to what God said. Faith holds on to who God is, regardless of what our circumstances say back to us. Regardless of what our circumstances say back to us. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. It's I'm not seeing the outcome that I want, but I see your word and I see your heart and I see you. And so I am assured I have conviction. I have hope that when it is good, you'll give it to me. Right now, I don't see it. And I'll be honest with you, it's bumming me out, freaking me out, making me anxious, making me think things about myself and about you that probably aren't true. But I'm going to trust you based on what I do know in spite of what I see around me. And so we pray prayers of faith that are prayers of persistence, right? Listen to Haggai chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Don't you love the book of Haggai? Don't you lie in church, you'll go straight to hell. Here it is. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. I should get a good amen just for getting all those right, all right? The high priest, to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Listen, I love this because Jesus or God calls all the leaders together. He says, I want you to remember what it was, and I want you to look at what it is now. Don't you have things in your life that you remember when it used to be great, but now? When you used to think he was charming? When you used to enjoy one another? When they used to like coming to church? When you used to have enough? When you used to trust more? When it felt like God was speaking to you? Right? This is what God says. I want you to look at it. You know what prayer is? It's speaking in reality to God. This is what it is. And God's never like, don't talk to me about that, or no. Let's just be optimistic. God says, I want you to look at it, and then look at what he says. Yet now, be strong. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people in the land, declares the Lord. Now work, because I'm with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Camera people, follow me here. All right? Let's look at this. Look at the realities of these things. These are real prayer requests. Pray my husband's cancer is gone. Pray salvation for my son. Pray spiritual direction. Pray that dad's Medicaid gets approved. Pray to be able to trust again. Pray for a job. Pray for my mom's cancer. Pray for my marriage and financial freedom. Look at it. Sit in it. Feel it. God doesn't need you to fake it. He says, look at what it could have been and look at what it is now. Be strong. Keep leaning in. Why? Because I'm with you. Because I'm with you. Because I made promises to you. Because of who I am. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't freak out. Don't believe things about me or you that aren't true. Just hang in there. I know it's broke. I know the walls are down. I know the enemy is coming in. I know it's not what it used to be or what you hope that it is. I know it's still on the board. I know it's day 15. Don't be afraid. My spirit is in your midst. Keep leaning in. You know, faith, it often begins small, doesn't it? You know, I read through those boards. I mean, let's just go over this way, right? And I could pray, camera people, follow me. Sorry, don't be cussing on the camera, all right? I could talk about marriages and cancer and jobs and healing, right? I could go to any of these boards and find things that whenever I look at them, I go, I don't know how you're going to do that, God, right? I mean, my friend whose brother was abused in the basement of a church. Come on, in a church? God, how are you going to fix that, man? Rodney King, out on his lawn, brain trauma, heart stop. Right? I don't know how you're going to do that. Faith often starts small. Look at Matthew 17 and verse 20. For truly I say to you, this is Jesus, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you know that a mustard seed's the smallest? It's the smallest one. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Here, I think that sometimes we have this conception that I got to work up faith for God to give me time. I got to come to God, and I got to ignore reality, and I got to work up courage, and I got to say, okay, God, I got tons of faith, and I believe you, and it's going to be awesome. But that's not real most of the time, is it? Most of the time, the prayer requests that we pray are like, this is not what it used to be, and I hate what it is, and I don't know how to fix it, and I don't know how you're going to fix it. And here's what God says, could you just give me a mustard seed? That the slightest inkling of hope that God might show up is more than enough. Listen, don't lament small beginnings. Don't lament small faith. Small beginnings given to God end up as grand finales. Come on, right? Listen, when we got a call that Rodney King was in the hospital, a lot of us were like, ooh, well, I guess it's good that it's 14 days, right? I don't know how that's going to go. And then his wife is in Guest Central crying and saying he's trying to get out of bed, right? Listen, we serve a God that isn't looking for you to work up fake faith. He says, look at it, but don't be afraid and keep leaning in and trust me, just give me whatever you got. Just give me whatever you got. And you give God what you, where you are and what you have, and God will do an incredible thing. Here's why. Please listen. The process is the point. The process is the point. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Listen to me. This is, if I'm being completely cynical and honest, I'm like, God, why didn't you just answer whenever I asked? Right? Well, I got to ask, and then I got to seek, and then I got to knock. And in my experience, I got to ask more than once. I got to seek more than once. Do you see the repetition of this? Because God loves for you to call him out on what he said, who he is, what he's done with the smallest amount of faith that you have. God loves to expand your faith as you seek not what you want, but him. Not what you want, but him. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us then, based on all these things, with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Listen, my confidence isn't in it. My confidence is in him. My confidence isn't what I felt. It's what he said. My confidence isn't based on my faith, right? Because my faith is many times anemic. And so I continue to lean into it. And I continue to give it to God, and I continue to say, this is the reality of it. I'm going to give it to you because I know that it's not best in my hands. I'm going to give it to you because I know that you have good things for me. I'm going to give it to you because I know what you said. I'm going to give it to you because I know who you are. And the longer that I hold on to it, the bigger it becomes and the further away you seem. And so I'm going to keep leaning in. I'm going to keep praying confidently. I'm going to keep submitting my will to yours. I'm going to keep persistently asking, persistently seeking, persistently knocking. And I'm going to trust that you'll give it to me at the proper time or that you'll explain it to me when I stand before you. Pastor Chris did a devotion in our 14 days of prayer that really stuck out to me. I've heard it many times, but just the way that he said it was interesting to me. He said, we serve a God that is here and there. We serve a God that is here in the mess, here with the post-it note, here with my small faith, here with me forgetting what he said and losing sight of God is here and he's there. He's there at the moment that he answers. He's there at the moment that he gives. In fact, he's there at the incident, right? He's there when it happened. He's there at my request. He's there at my answer. He's there in the space between when it happened and when I got up the courage to ask, when I asked and the struggle to wait, right? He's there when he answers it. He's there when I stand before him in glory and say, can I ask you a question? God is in all of those places. The God who loves you, the God who's spoken, the God who's powerful, the God who's trustworthy, knows why you're asking, knows when you ask, knows when he gives it, and is with you from A to Z in the meantime. Here's the thing that's the most ironic about this, is that illogical faith is really the most logical decision for a person of Jesus. Because if Jesus is with me there and now and then, if Jesus has promised, if Jesus is powerful, if Jesus only has given me good things, then why wouldn't I just continue to lean not into it, but into him and trust him to lead me according to what's best for me through the valley on the mountaintop, through the dark seasons, through the sunshine, through the things that I love, through the things that are painful. And so if you're in here today and you put something on the board, and the reality of it is that I see more post-it notes than I have stories. And so that is many of you. The prize isn't the answer. The prize is his presence. And so in a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to God. And some of you, you just need to continue to lean in, man. Some of you just need to continue to ask. You need to continue to trust. You need to say, you know where my post-it note is. You know why I'm asking it. You know how I'm feeling today. You know the things that are in my heart. I'm going to give it to you again. I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to believe you again. I'm going to hear you again. Some of you, your post-it note says answered on it, and you need to stand up and you need to sing like you're the only one in the room. You need to celebrate because we serve a God who exists, who hears, who moves, who acts, who's powerful, who did something for it, not just you. Listen, Rodney King being healed isn't just for Rodney. That's for me. Because I see a God who hears our prayers. It's for us. And so if you're in here and you're celebrating, I want you to stand up in a couple minutes. I want you to sing like a fool. Get your hands in the air, jump up and down. If you're in here and you're hurting, I want you to lean into the presence of God. If you're a member of this house, I want you, as the bucket comes, just to give. What is giving? God, I have needs, but you've been good. And so I'm going to trust you with today. I'm going to worship you with today. I'm going to give out of what you've given me today. So why don't you stand up? And regardless of where you are, if you're praising, sing. If you're praying, pray and come down. Let our pastors serve you. Let our pastors meet you in that. If you're a member of this house, let's respond to God in worship and giving. But let's all give him what he's worthy of.
Hey, Pastor Tim here. I hope that you enjoyed our service. If it was a blessing to you or God spoke to you, I hope that you'll let us know. Shoot us an email at amen@visitgraceway.org. We would love to hear what God's doing in your life and how we might be able to help you in it. If you'd like to support our ministry, you can support us by giving right there. And if you live in the Kansas City area, I hope that you'll stop by and give us a visit. We'd love to shake your hand, buy you a cup of coffee, worship Jesus together. Let us know how we can be of help to you, and I hope to see you soon.